All right, let's pick up the phone and give a call to Lara Lynn. She's going to be playing at the Masry Center for the Arts on February 2nd. Here we go.
Hello?
Hello, Lara Lynn.
Yes, hi.
This is Chris Wink at WEXT. How are you this morning?
I'm great.
How long has music been a part of your life?
My entire life. My mother was a club rock singer. She did cover music, like Heart kind of stuff. So since I was really young, I mean, probably in the womb, she was singing and performing. So it was always around me.
And when did you decide that it would become your career?
I think when I won the talent show in high school, maybe as a freshman. And then I got a job playing for 3 hours a week in a Mexican restaurant and was making money and thought, oh, this is not so bad, making money, playing songs.
Now, what songs were you playing in that Mexican restaurant?
Oh, my God. Everything from the Beatles to Green Day. All over the place. Not my own songs yet.
When did you actually start writing some of your own songs?
Probably around the same time, 14. 15. They were terrible. Absolutely horrible.
As I say, when did you decide to start sharing some of these songs?
I think the first early song that I wrote that I decided I would share was Whiskey, and that was on my first record, and I think I was 18 when I wrote that one.
That's not too old then, right? So you were a few years in.
I guess that's not too old. I don't know. These days, the kids are getting started earlier and earlier.
It sure seems like it, right?
I'm just a man, a low-down man with a whiskey bottle in both hands. Liquored up, though I may be, there is still.
So that was your first record, came out in 2011, Have You Met Lara Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about recording that record. You had also won the Merlefest songwriting competition there with Bobby Baby.
You know, I had a band at that point in Athens, Georgia, where I was living, just kind of feeling around in the dark, trying to figure out what my voice would be, what kind of music I would play, what kind of band I would have, if I would have a band. I went through this phase of writing these really verbose and harmonically dense kind of jazz folk songs. And I would play them out in tiny clubs in Athens, and nobody cared. You know, no one was engaging. And I really took a lot of direction from that. I decided that it wasn't working. I somehow had the outside perspective of knowing that unless you're doing something that's really true to your, I guess, upbringing in a way, your identity, the things that are ingrained in you as a young person, you're not a compelling performer or writer or artist in any sense. Obviously, people change and identities grow. And at that point, I decided to kind of go back to Southern music, Southern influence, like country music, country and Western music, and made Have You Met Lara Lynn, which is that. It was meant to be a throwback country record, but through the lens of a 20-something-year-old living in Athens, Georgia, it kind of came out this indie rock country record, which is fine. I think with each record, I'm continuing to grow into my skin, as I guess we all are.
Every once in a while, I still can see your blue eyes searching a way to be free. And I go to your grave, bottle in hand, and pour out your.
We got Lara Lynn on the phone. Right. Now, Lara, you're going to be at the Masry Center for the Arts on February 2nd. Will you be with a band for that show?
I'm bringing a trio, which is not something I've done in a really long time. I've performed with a full band and with a duo. And I think the only time I was in Albany was in 2012, playing with Sarah Jarosz and performing as a duo my own music. I'm excited to bring the trio. We've been rehearsing a good bit, which is also something we don't get to do very often. But we've been working up some arrangements, new arrangements for old songs, and also working on arrangements for new songs that no one has heard yet. So I'm excited to debut some new stuff.
And new songs, I'm assuming, for the fourth record that might be coming soon?
Potentially, yeah.
Cool.
I've written about two records worth of songs, so we'll just have to see what makes the cut at the end of recording.
Lara Lynn, who would you put sort of at the top of the list of some of your favorite artists, perhaps those who might be the most influential to you?
That's a really difficult question to answer. I think my influences are all over the map. I grew up listening to 80s and 90s mainstream country music on the radio. You know, my dad always had the radio on. And my mom, meanwhile, was listening to Michael Jackson and Joni Mitchell and Paul McCartney and Billy Ocean. And then I went off to college and discovered jazz, and my mind was blown by that whole world that I knew nothing about. And I think that had a big influence on me as well. Jeff Buckley was a big one when I was learning to play guitar. I feel like I've taken tiny little threads from so many different artists. I'm going to stop this metaphor here.
But that might be why you sort of have that attempt to do an old throwback country, but it ends up being a little more towards the indie rock side, because you kind of have a lot of different things pulling at you there.
Yeah, I think so.
So how did you get yourself involved with T-Bone Burnett, Roseanne Cash, and the whole True Detective series thing? Were you headed in that direction? Did it just happen?
I set up camp outside of T-Bone's house, just waited for him to come out. And no, I'm just kidding.
I like that, though. You should go with that. Run with that one.
My manager had previously worked with T-Bone on the Raising Sand record from Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, which is one of my favorite records of all time. She thought we might work well together. Eventually, we had the chance to meet in Nashville for lunch and have a couple martinis and talk about music. And he had heard a song of mine that I had just released called Lying in the Sun. And he wanted to use it in the soundtrack of True Detective. And when we had lunch, he said, you know, what do you think about us writing some for the show? You want to try that? And I said, heck yeah. Mm-hmm. So I flew to L.A. and I think in our first session, we wrote and recorded 4 songs, and that was, you know, like a few days' time. It just was a really natural collaboration. We wrote really easily together. And then for some of them, he brought on Roseanne Cash as an additional collaborator. We played the music for Nick Pizzolatto, the writer for True Detective, and he loved it. And T-Bone suggested that I be the girl in the bar also performing, you know, on the show, these songs. And they said, all right, let's do it. Sure. Let's go for it. Next thing I knew, I was on a set with Vince Vaughn and Colin Farrell and Rachel McAdams going, what does this all mean? What am I supposed to look? How do I hold my mouth?
But I'm sure they helped you with that, right?
Nope.
No.
They were like, okay, go.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I was acting as a musician, so I mean, I kind of have an idea.
Lyra Lynn's on the phone with me. She's going to be at the Masry Center for the Arts February 2nd. Check it out at strose.edu. Lyra, your latest album, Resistor, would you tell me a little bit how that came to pass?
I was working on that song in between shooting and writing for True Detective and recorded it at my home studio in Nashville, which is also called Resistor. One thing that I have come up against, or rather just come across in my experience post True Detective, is that people often assume that the character that I was portraying is, in fact, who I am as a musician. And while that is part of me, that's a muscle, you know, the kind of dark minor key, you know, girl with a guitar stuff, there's other sides of me as well. And I really wanted Resistor to bridge the gap. You know, I wanted to introduce the fans that had found me through True Detective to this other side of my music. That was an interesting challenge. And we put songs like Shapeshifter and Drive on there, which are a little more flirtatious and upbeat. There's a possibility of fun, maybe a glimmer of hope in those songs. I think we did a good job with that. I'm proud of that record.
Cool. Well, Lyra, you've been been quite busy the past few years, and now you're telling me you're getting ready to put together a fourth album. What is next? A fourth album, and then?
Well, I think before that, before my fourth album, I'm working on another collaborative project that hopefully will be released in the summertime. I can't really tell you much about it yet, but I'm really excited about it. It's going to be really interesting. We'll start recording that in a couple weeks.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Awesome. So does that mean you think the next album is maybe 2019 or?
I don't know. I hope we can squeeze it all into this year. In order to give records their best chance, you gotta slow your roll, you know.
You gotta let them breathe a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Well, Lara Lynn, thank you so much for taking a few moments out of your day to talk with me.
Absolutely. Thank you. I can't wait to come to Albany. I'm really looking forward to playing at the Masary Center for the Arts. I've never been there, but I've been looking at photos, and a lot of friends of mine have said that we would have a great time, so I'm really looking forward to it.
It's laralynn.com, LARALYNN.com. Lara, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks. Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.